माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोधनंदन भज जन रंजन यशोधनंदन भज जन रंजन यमुना किरावन चारी यमुना किरावन जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोधानंदन भज जन रंजन यशोधानंदन भज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावन चारी यमुना तीरावन चारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी
भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयम् अधीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhakti Bhavati Naishtaki. Hare Krishna, good morning. So today we are continuing third chapter of the second canto, 15th verse. It's also a very special day. Today is the disappearance day of Sri Damodar Goswami. It's also the disappearance day of Shivananda Sen. So there's so much to cover in one class. So I'm not sure if I'll get through each personality, but I'll try my best. Let's see. Savai Bhagavato Raja. Pandaveyo Maharataha. Bala Kridan Nake Kridan. Krishna Kridam Yadade. Savai Bhagavato Raja. Pandaveyo Maharata. Bala Kridana Kai Kridan. Krishna Kridam Yadade. Please chant. Certainly. Bhagavata, a great devotee of the Lord. Raja, Maharaj Parikshit. Pandaveya, grandson of the Pandavas. Maharataha, a great fighter. Bala, Bala child. Kridan Akai, with play dolls. Kridan, playing. Krishna, Lord Krishna. Kridam, activities. Ya, who? Adade, accepted. Translation. Maharaj Parikshit, the grandson of the Pandavas, was from his very childhood a great devotee of the Lord. Even while playing with dolls, he used to worship Lord Krishna by imitating the worship of the family deity. Purport. In the Bhagavad Gita 6.41, it is stated that even a person who has failed in the proper discharge of yoga practice is given a chance to take birth in the house of devout brahmanas or in the houses of rich men like Kshatriya kings or rich merchants. But Maharaj Parikshit was more than that because he had been a great devotee of the Lord since his previous birth. And as such, he took his birth in an imperial family of the Kurus, and especially that of the Pandavas. So from the very beginning of his childhood, he had the chance to know intimately the devotional service of Lord Krishna and his own family. The Pandavas, all being devotees of the Lord, certainly venerated family deities in the royal palace for worship. Children who appear in such families fortunately generally imitate such worship of the deities, even in the way of childhood play. By the grace of Lord Sri Krishna, we had the chance of being born in the Vaishnava family, and in our childhood, we imitated the worship of Lord Krishna by imitating our father. Our father encouraged us in all respects to observe all functions, such as the Rath Yatra and Dol Yatra ceremonies, and he used to spend money liberally for distributing prasad to us children and our friends. Our spiritual master, who also took his birth in a Vaishnava family, got all inspirations from his great Vaishnava father, Thakur Bhakti Vinod. That is the way of all lucky Vaishnava families. The celebrated Mirabai was a staunch devotee of Lord Krishna, as the great lifter of Govardhan Hill. The life history of many such devotees is almost the same because there is always symmetry between the early lives of all great devotees of the Lord. According to Jiva Goswami, Maharaj Parikshit must have heard about the childhood pastimes of Lord Krishna at Vrindavan, for he used to imitate the pastimes with his young playmates. According to Sridhar Swami, Maharaj Parikshit used to imitate the worship of the family deity by elderly members. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti also confirms the viewpoint of Jiva Goswami. So accepting either of them, Maharaj Parikshit was naturally inclined to Lord Krishna from his very childhood. He might have imitated either of the above-mentioned activities, and all of them established his great devotion from his very childhood, a symptom of a Mahabhagavat. Such Mahabhagavats are called Nitya Siddhas, or souls liberated from birth. But there are also others who may not be liberated from birth, but who develop a tendency for devotional service by association, and they are called Sadhana Siddhas. There is no difference between the two in the ultimate issue. And so the conclusion is that everyone can become a sadhana siddha, a devotee of the Lord, simply by association with the pure devotees. The concrete example is our great spiritual master, Sri Narada Muni. In his previous life, he was simply a boy of a maidservant, but through association with great devotees, he became a devotee of the Lord of his own standard, unique in the history of devotional service. I'll read the translation one more time. Maharaj Parikshit, the grandson of the Pandavas, was from his very childhood a great devotee of the Lord, even while playing with dolls. He used to worship Lord Krishna by imitating the worship of the family deity. Om Gyanat Amidam Visya Vanjana Shalakaya Shakshuram Nitam Jena Kasmaya Shri Guruve Namaha Namah Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Krishnaya Vikram Shinati Bhakti Vinanta Swami Tehamini Namaste, Saraswati Devi, Gauravani Vichayani, Nirvasesha Srinivani, Vastitani Vichayani, Vanchakam Padrubhyasya, Kripa Sandhubhi Vichayani, Vatitanam Pavanevyo, Vaishnavevyo, Namo Namaha. Thank you, everybody. I'd like to first request all of your blessings, all the blessings of devotees listening online, that I can do some justice to this wonderful, really, really wonderful verse. There's so much here, packed in the verse itself and packed in the purport. And also that I can share a little bit of the glories of Srila Sarup Damodar Goswami. So just a bit of the context of this specific verse and this point in time in the Bhagavatam. If we look back to the last two verses, we hear sort of the conversation switch. So it was at Sukadeva Goswami speaking to the sages and Parikshit Maharaj, and addressing all of them since the very beginning of this canto, and it switches back to Sutta Goswami and Shanaka Rishi and the sages, and they're saying, we want to hear more. And they want to inspire Sutta Goswami to keep talking, because so far all they've heard Parikshit Maharaj say is, what is the duty of a dying man? One question has been asked so far. So what's next? And They're glorifying Parikshit Maharaj here, and they glorify Shukadeva Goswami, the process of hearing. And up until now, Shukadeva Goswami has thoroughly explained many different processes of self-realization, because there are so many different groups of sages who come from different backgrounds, different yoga practices, etc. So he's addressing everybody, but keeping in mind his ultimate point of proving bhakti is the topmost process for self-realization. And then that concludes in the famous verse, just a few verses back, where he says that one should worship the Lord with intense bhakti. Ti vrena bhakti yogena. No matter who he is, whether he is akama, he has no desires, he's sarvakama, full of desires, or mokshakama, he wants liberation. No matter the situation, and this is speaking to all the sages, no matter how many, whatever background you come from, intense devotional service, that is the goal. And that is the ultimate process. And so this verse, it's showing that Parikshit Maharaj, he had this tivrena bhakti, this intense, fixed, pointed devotional service. And we know that we heard so many chapters of Parikshit Maharaj in the first canto, but he had it from his childhood, and that's just very, very significant. As a child, he had this, and it says, Savai Bhagavato Raja. Savai, he certainly had it. I mean, the Bhagavatam says something is certain, it's definitely certain. So he certainly had this great devotion to the Lord from a very young age. There's another verse in the Bhagavatam that says, Savaye. It starts with that. Anyone remember? It's the verse, yes, thank you. Please help me for a moment. It's slipping my mind. Savaye from some Parodharma. Yes, that the ultimate, the supreme dharma for this age is certainly that which leads one to devotional service. That is the supreme occupation. So this is a very strong statement made by the Bhagavatam. And it's clear from a young age that this is Parikshit Maharaj was a devotee of the Lord. And it's stated how. And it says, even by playing with dolls, he used to worship Lord Krishna by imitating the worship of the family deity. So it's imitation of the actual worship, of the actual process of bhakti that we consider archanam, puja. The imitation with dolls was considered worship. And not only that, it was adade, it was accepted. This was accepted by the Lord. And for this reason, other reasons also, but for this specific reason in this verse, it's stating this is why he's very clearly a devotee. So there's so much importance there. That playing with dolls, playing in general, that's the occupation of a child. That's what they do. That's like their stage of life. Everything is play for them. So if you think about it that way, that's his stage of life. That's where he is at. He's a child, he's playing. But from where he's at, from his current situation in life, he's worshiping Krishna. And without any other designations. This is just what he knows how to do, how he knows how to offer to Krishna. He's seen what's done before by his elders, by his family, and he's copying it with his heart. And in that way, Krishna accepts it. So the first point that we can learn here is that we must perform bhakti in the same way that child Parikshit, as a child would play with his dolls and imitate the puja, but he does so with devotion, and Krishna accepts it. So from that, we can learn that Krishna wants our authentic devotional service that comes from us authentically. Not what we should think we should be doing based on the level of bhakti where we're not at yet, but from the current level of bhakti where we are right now, at this current stage, accepting that, understanding our position that, yes, we have a long way to go, but Krishna, where I am right now, that I am offering in service to you. Just like as a child is playing with dolls, in the same way we can offer with our heart, and then Krishna will accept it. So according to our physical situation, our mental, psychological situation, the platform of bhakti where we're at. And there, Krishna accepts it. And he states this in the Bhagavad Gita. It's the famous verse that, if you offer me a leaf, water, fruits, so on, I'll accept it, if you offer with devotion. And of course, it doesn't mean that this is all we offer, but if that's all you have, and Prabhupada describes in the purport, that the process is so easy that even a leaf, or a little water, or fruit, can be offered to the Supreme Lord in genuine love, and the Lord will be pleased to accept it. No one, therefore, can be barred from Krishna consciousness. No one, because it is so easy and universal. Who is such a fool that he does not want to be Krishna conscious by the simple method and thus attain the highest perfectional life of eternity, bliss, and knowledge? Krishna wants only loving service and nothing more. Krishna accepts even a little flower from his pure devotee. So it's this purity Maharaj Parikshit had. And you can see that in children, that there's so much innocence there. They don't have any covering. It's just who they are. And they, from that place, their heart is so ready and ripe for bhakti. So if you see sometimes a child may bring a flower and offer it to the deity. It seems so much, it's so heart-wrenching and loving to see. And then when we pick a flower, there may be so many coverings and thoughts, this is what we're supposed to do, Guru Puja, we offer a flower, this is the ritual. But there's none of those thoughts for a child. It's just very pure. So Krishna said, Prabhupada says here, Krishna accepts even a little flower, even the smallest offering, what you have, from his pure devotee, with purity. But also, what we can see here with Maharaj Parikshit is that there's this focus from a young age. And it's mentioned in the purport, actually from a previous lifetime, your bhakti carries over. You take birth in a Brahmana family, in a Vaishnava family. And it says here, it's a very nice statement. According to Sri Jiva Goswami, Maharaj Parikshit must have heard about the childhood pastimes of Lord Krishna in Vrindavan, for he used to imitate the pastimes with his young playmates. Thus, Maharaj Parikshit was naturally inclined to Lord Krishna from his very childhood. So there were samskaras. These were lasting impressions. In fact, Maharaj Parikshit, from within the womb, he had a very special darshan of Krishna. So he was always hankering for Krishna. But specifically, it says he must have heard about Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan. And therefore, he imitated them. And this created an impression. Because later on in life, Maharaj Parikshit was constantly searching, who was that person that I had a short vision of? Who was he? Who is this Krishna in Vrindavan that I'm hearing of? And therefore, Krishna led him to Sukadeva Goswami, to his spiritual master, based on that desire that was cultivated as a child. Those samskaras, those deep impressions, were held so strongly that led him to the spiritual master, who was Srimati Radharani's parrot, who was there specifically in Brajlila, who specifically knew Krishna in Vrindavan, and narrated so many pastimes of Krishna in Vrindavan, and could guide him in such a way, according to his desire. But those desires were cultivated at a young age. And those are samskaras, those are very strong impressions. So why is this important? Especially important, I find especially relevant, being in that position, born in the devotee family, also probably similar, play with Krishna dolls, imitate the puja. So many children, we have a similar upbringing. We spend years, in a gurukul setting or a devotee family environment that trains us in Krishna consciousness. I remember once Jai Sri Radha called, our teachers are our preachers here in Alachua. Our teachers are our preachers, because they're putting so many Krishna conscious samskaras and relationships and good memories into each and every child during their upbringing. And then you notice that often, or at least I notice, when devotees who grow up in Krishna consciousness then become adults, and they may be swept away by Maya a little bit and taken here and there, but they usually always have a very, very strong faith in Krishna. And they believe in Krishna very much, and believe in Krishna as the Supreme Lord. Even if their sadhana may be this way, that way, their practice or the regular principles may be shaken up, but their belief in Krishna is generally very, very strong. Why? Because of the samskaras that are held from a young age. And Bhagavad Gita says, Neha Vikramana Nash Asti Pratavaya Naridyate. In this endeavor, there is no loss or diminution. This just keeps adding up into their spiritual bank account. So, as adults, we're generally afflicted with many false designations, many upadis. We have many things that we consider ourselves, maybe a child doesn't. And this is going back to the point of the innocence of a child. As an adult, we may think, I have this responsibility, so I'm so-and-so's husband, I hold a such-and-such position at the temple, or I have such-and-such job, so this is what I do. And all this adds layers, material conditionings, and coverings that makes it very difficult for us to practice Krishna consciousness. Whereas a child, it's easy and very pure. So there's this little bit of a childlike innocence or mentality we need when we practice bhakti, that we don't have these coverings anymore. We can drop these upadis. And there's a wonderful verse, a famous verse, Sarva Upadi Vinir Muktam Tat Part Vena Nirmilam Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam Bhakti Uchite. That Sarva Upadi Vinir Muktam, all our upadis or material designations are Vinir Muktam, are freed. When we do sevanam bhakti uchate, devotional service. So even as, you know, adults, who maybe you missed the chance as a younger devotee to, as a child, to create so many impressions, or you had an upbringing that was very far removed from Krishna consciousness, and those are impressions that are difficult, and those impressions are in the heart, and to be able to free yourself of that, of those false designations, and surrender to Krishna may be very difficult. But through the process of devotional service, slowly those become removed. I remember personally that when we'd go on bus tours, we had this term called making memories. And even if something was like totally gone wrong and everyone was fried out and were hungry and tired and sweaty on the bus, we'd just say, oh, it's making memories. And then years later, I realized that wasn't just a way to get us through the tough times. It was actually a very strong philosophical point that we were making impressions, and these impressions will carry you through the rest of your Krishna conscious life. For example, times where I were in Mexico and it's just like there's no running water, and there's a feast cooked for 200 people, and there's kichari stuck on all, and sand stuck inside of these giant pots, and you're going with one little flashlight to the ocean to try to scrub it with sand. But then you're just thinking, oh, this is actually, this is so blissful. Like, I'm with my friends and this is such an adventure. It's making memories. And then years, 7, 8 years later, you remember that. And you just, hey, remember that time where we didn't have any running water, we cleaned the pots with sand and the ocean in the dark, with water up to our knees. Yeah, I remember that. And these making memories are impressions, and they really, they go a long way. There's a quote by Maya Angelou, I don't have it written, but something along the lines that people don't remember what you tell them, they don't remember what you do, but they remember how you made them feel. So how you feel in a certain, the activities you do, the relationships you have, how you feel from those are samskaras, impressions. And if those are Krishna conscious and they support bhakti, or they support a positive life that can lead one to Krishna, then they go a long way. Those are what's really remembered. And if we were to think of our consciousness as a living space, as a room, you have a room in a house, you have an empty room and you want to furnish it, and you're thinking, what do I put in this room? And what I put in this room will create a certain atmosphere. If I paint it all really dark, funny story, I once painted the room purple, because I like the color purple, and it got very dark. My wife wasn't very happy, so we painted it back white, but the dark color created a certain atmosphere. When it is brighter, it creates a certain atmosphere. So if we have a room of our consciousness, what will you fill it with? What impressions will you put in there? What samskaras will you have? What memories will you have? After you fill it, after those memories are there, what atmosphere is created? So according to what we fill our consciousness with, the river of our life, it flows in that direction. If it's this problem, that problem, this prajalpa, etc., 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 you know the direction it's going to go in. But if it's this wonderful Krishna conscious experience, that kirtan, you know, this reading in Bhagavatam, they last and they go a long way. And this is what happened with Maharaj Parikshit from a young age, and you can see what the result of his life was. So you might ask, well then what about, you know, we're speaking so much about children here and youth and creating those Krishna conscious experiences from a young age. But what about us who are adults? Maybe we missed the boat. Is that it? Do we have a chance? You know? Now we have so many upadis, we have so many designations, and we think ourselves in so many ways and roles. Do we just try again next life? Sometimes I hear devotees, oh, next year I'll take birth in the Gurukuli family. I'm like, no. This year you're finished, you're going back to Godhead. You know, it's not always, you know, it may feel very difficult as we're adults, but what is the transformative agent? How can we create these strong Krishna conscious impressions that can go deep in our heart? And that can remove, that can do sarvabhadi vinir muktam. What is this devotional service? And in this age of Kali, it's chanting of the holy name, congregational chanting of the holy name very specifically. And so think of it this way, if we have this room with all this material stuff and tons of junk, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, cleansing the mirror of the heart. It's a dirty mirror, it's a dirty room. We bring in spiritual sound vibration, we bring in the holy name, and we constantly, we're clearing up this room, slowly, slowly, dark paint is removed and the old furniture is taken out. It's cleared up. It's fresh. Where do you think the flow of life will go from there? First, the thoughts change, the consciousness. When we infiltrate the consciousness with spiritual sound vibration, with kirtan, with the holy name, then our actions follow, and then our whole being just becomes very spiritual. And this is the way that we can remove our material designations, the way we can spiritualize our life, really. And just like Maharaj Parikshit did, in such a simple, sincere, innocent way as a child. And it's really nice that I just wanted to mention this in the purport, how Srila Prabhupada said, we had the chance of being born in the Vaishnava family. We meaning his family, him. And in our childhood, we imitated the worship of Lord Krishna. I don't know if you've seen the Abhay Charan series, but there's a, it's actually a young kirtan premi who's playing Abhay Charan. And he's doing aarti to the deities, and it's a really sweet scene, but that was Prabhupada's upbringing. And you can see that 70 years later, he's writing about it in the Bhagavatam for everybody to know that this is what happened when I was a child, and look where it brought me, and look where it brought Maharaj Parikshit. And it says, actually, all the life history of all the great devotees is quite similar. From a young age, usually there's this samskar. It also mentions Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Since tomorrow is Puri Rath, I guess I just mentioned this short story, which many of you know, but when the Rath Yatra cart was going by, if you've been to Jagannath Puri, really close to the temple, there's the birthplace of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Bhaktivinoda Thakur's home. So the Rath Yatra cart literally goes right by that, on that road. So when the Rath Yatra cart was going, and it's the whole thing, and hundreds of thousands, millions of people are going, and it stopped. This just doesn't happen. Rath Yatra cart just stopped right outside of that home. All the men were pushing, and the big pandas were pushing, and nothing could happen. All the force. And so Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's wife took this opportunity, let's take our baby out and give him darshan of Lord Jagannath. Offer the baby to the lotus feet of Lord Jagannath. And this way the garland dropped, and then the Rath Yatra cart kept moving. So these impressions are there. And for the sake of this Bhagavatam, first I will pause here, or for the sake of the next topic. I don't know if we'll be have time to cover both personalities, but I really wanted to speak a little bit on Sri Rupa Damodara Goswami, who's such a significant associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and really, I have so much more to learn about him, and just, yeah, he's just such a wonderful personality, but I hope in sharing a few things that stood out to me would inspire you to want to read a little bit more about him and hear a little bit more about him. And it's so important to hear about Mahaprabhu's close associates, specifically Mahaprabhu's close associates, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, he taught through his associates. That was the way he taught. He taught through teaching his associates, having conversations with them, their dealings, the subtlety of their dealings. And so if we want to know about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we have to hear from those who heard from them. We have to learn about those who heard from them, who are close to him, because they know him best. And who knows Chaitanya Mahaprabhu better than Sri Damodara Goswami? He was there to the very end. He was the whole Puri pastimes. He was so intimately close with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And who is he? Oh, first of all, let's think about what is the Lord's internal reason for descending into earth as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. What was his internal reason for this lila? And we know that it's to understand the sweetness of Sri Radha's love. So Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains, the internal purpose of the Lord was revealed to the world in its most perfect and complete form in the descent of Lalita Sakhi, in the form of Sarup Damodara Goswami. So this internal reason, the real reason Mahaprabhu wanted to come, is to experience that sweetness of Srimati Radharani's pure love for Krishna. That was facilitated, and it was revealed to the world through Sarup Damodara Goswami. And it's interesting, actually, that it says it was revealed to the world, that what we read of in Chaitanya Charitamrita and the pastimes in Puri onwards are really coming from Sri Rupa Damodara Goswami. That's one of his the one thing we can be most grateful for him is that we know about Lord Chaitanya in his Puri pastimes and later because of Sarup Damodar Goswami. He created, actually short notes, but he created notes throughout all these Leelas, and not only what happened, what was the inner mood, what was the thoughts of Mahaprabhu, what was he really feeling? All these details that are so confidential, that's really coming from the main Sakhi herself, Lalita Sakhi, down to all of us, available for anybody who has access to Chaitanya Charitamrita. And actually he created these notes, and he explained it to Raghunath Das Goswami, who was like his right-hand man. And Raghunath Das Goswami would make elaborate notes, and then he described it to Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami on the banks of the Radhakund for hours every day. On the basis of what Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami heard from Raghunath Das Goswami, from Sarup Damodar Goswami, this became the basis of Chaitanya Charitamrita. And not just, like I said, not just what happened, but all the inner details. So a little bit about the qualities of Sarup Damodar Goswami. It's stated that when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas, that Sarup Damodar Goswami was present. His name then was Purushottam Acharya. He lived in Navadvip, and he was a witness at the sannyas ceremony. And he saw it, and he immediately just became maddened. He got up and he left. He went straight for Varanasi to take sannyas. And the question is, why? Did he want to imitate Lord Chaitanya? What was the reason? So he goes there. He was just so inspired and maddened to see Lord Chaitanya take sannyas that he took sannyas from the Tirtha Sannyasi in the Shankara Sampradaya. And actually, the way he took sannyas was so interesting and it was so different and unique, but it explains so much about what his purpose was and what his humility really is. So in this specific sect of the Sampradaya, the title would change to have Tirtha in it, and rather than his brahmachari name, which was Sarup. But with Sarup, he retained his brahmachari name Sarup. He didn't accept the title of sannyasi, he didn't accept the danda, nor did he accept the sannyas dress. Why? So why did he go all this way, take sannyas, and really didn't even accept anything that shows that he is a sannyasi? What really changed? So was it for show? Was it because Lord Chaitanya did it? The reason is because he wanted to worship Krishna without any disturbance. Like we were talking before, he didn't want any designations, any upadis. And these were all things that he felt could distract him on his path. Even though they're the custom of what a sannyasi has, they hold the danda, they have the cloth, they have the name. He was mad and in love for Krishna and Lord Chaitanya, so he took sannyas, but it wasn't a show. He wanted to cut off all external distractions. So he was very, very sensitive to this, and it shows his character and his humility that he would even take unconventional, and we see this often in Chaitanya-charitamrita, there's associates take unconventional measures, something that we can imitate, but the example is that they go so far to the extreme because they have so much love for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so much love for Krishna, and they're so humble. That's these extreme measures, they showcase this point, that they want absolute focus in the Lord, that this very genuine humility. A little more on humility, there's Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami states, Banditiera avadi bhakya nahi karosane, nirjane rahaye loka sabe nahi jane. Banditiera avadi, the limit of learned scholarship. Sarup Damodar was the limit of all learned scholarship. I think you can imagine that someone, devotee, is so scholarly, they know so much that they just hit a limit, they hit a ceiling. They just know everything that there is to be known. The most scholarly, he was Banditiera avadi. But he did not exchange words with anyone. He simply remained in a solitary place and no one could understand who he was. I mean, can you just imagine if we have a little bit of knowledge, we hear one fun fact and we just have to tell the whole world, or we have one opinion and we just have to put it on social media. It's just, as soon as we know one thing, we have to tell everybody. But imagine you're the limit, you hit the limit of scholarly knowledge, but you don't speak to anyone about it because you're so humble. You don't want to show off. You don't want to create this designation, and therefore go away from your bhakti. So who was he in relationship to the Lord? We hear about how one service that he contributed was that his singing was, he brought so much pleasure to the Lord, and he always stayed near Lord Chaitanya in Puri. And whatever mood the Lord was in, Swarup Damodar would perform kirtan, and it would augment, it would bring out the Lord's internal sentiments. And around that same time, Swarup Damodar came to Puri. Ramananda Rai also arrived there, and the two of them, Ramananda Rai, would speak Rasa Tattva to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was a great poet. And Mahaprabhu loved this very much, and Swarup Damodar Goswami would sing all the favorite bhajans of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And in this way, it was that same Lalita and Vishakha with the internal confidence of Sri Radha, Swarup Damodar, Ramananda Roy. They were the internal confidants of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And there was a nice service and relationship and interaction that was specific to Swarup Damodar Goswami, and I'll end this last point and story. That he would basically, if anyone wanted to submit a song or a verse or poetry or a book or something to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they would first have to go to the examination of Swarup Damodar, because he was like, it was said, he's like an alter ego or a second Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He just knew the tattva, he knew the inner mood, everything of Lord Chaitanya in his mind that he wanted so perfectly. And Mahaprabhu was very, very sensitive. It said that Lord Chaitanya was very cautious of two things that could subtly creep in and that could ruin bhakti, and that was apasiddhanta and rasabhas. The verse is bhakti siddhanta viruddha ara rasabhas shunite na haya prabhura chiteda ulas. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was never pleased to hear books or verses opposed to conclusive statements of devotional service. The Lord did not like hearing rasabhas, the overlapping of transcendental mellows. So that was the service of Swarup Damodar Goswami. He would examine all the literatures, find out if the conclusions were correct, examine anything that would come to him. I heard a really nice analogy that it described these two points. I think it's a very important point. How Mahaprabhu was very sensitive to anything that would parallel Mayavad philosophy. And because he was so focused on his internal reasons, this experiencing Radha's love for Krishna, this pure devotional service from Srimati Radharani at that level, that if anything parallel Mayavad philosophy would absolutely ruin it. And as followers of Lord Chaitanya, we have to pay attention to that. What could creep in that's apasiddhanta, that's rasabhas, that would take us away from Krishna consciousness, and we may not even know it. So the example is like this. If, let's say we have a harmonium. Let's say Prabhu asks me for the harmonium, and he points to it. He says, can you bring me that? And I say, what, the harmonium? And he goes, yeah, the harmonium. I said, no, that's not a harmonium. That's a mridanga. And he goes, no, it's a harmonium. It's clearly a harmonium. I said, no, it's a mridanga. But if I didn't know any better, I didn't know what a harmonium was. And I thought, musical instrument, Hare Krishna's, we play mridanga, that's a mridanga. That would be apasiddhanta, that would be against the tattva of what a harmonium actually is. But I'm unclear what the siddhanta is. I think it's a mridanga, right? And so Rasa Bhas would say, if he were to point to the harmonium and say, can you pass the harmonium? Like, oh, yeah, that's a harmonium. And he goes, okay, Prabhu, do you know how to play it? Yeah, I can play it. And I start playing it like a mridanga on its sides. That's Rasa Bhas, that's mixing of mellows. So this is an idea to how to understand that a philosophical truth, if we're not very clear about it, we may have a slight deviation of it, and this is apasiddhanta. Or if we may understand what the truth is, but we don't understand the intricacies, how the harmonium is played. We don't understand how the intricacies of the rasas flow. That could be rasabhas. That's why it's very, very important that we follow in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's footsteps in his lineage in parampara. We understand very clearly from a bona fide spiritual master and a bona fide lineage through Srila Prabhupada, because if we don't, we may think we got the right idea, we may think we understand the intricacies, but we won't, because there may be small things we just don't get, and that could really take us away. And so this was Swarup Damodar Goswami. He did so much for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was just there by his side always, and there's so much deep connection between the two of them. And I hope I can inspire you to hear a little bit more about him, because there's so many wonderful pastimes and so much that I still have to learn. But this is just what I wanted to share. And I don't think we'll have time. And I also did not really hear too much into the life of Shivananda Sen, but also a very close associate of Mahaprabhu. If you have the time today, please do a little Google search, a YouTube search on him. Anyways, thank you very much. If there are any thoughts, reflections, questions, please feel free. See a few hands.
Thanks. Real quick, you didn't really say much about where he was, you know, where he was appeared in India, any more about his early history?
I personally don't know. I don't think there was so much when I was looking into it.
Okay.
And what the Chaitanya Charitamrita describes is mostly from the point of when he takes, when he sees Mahaprabhu and then wants to go take a sannyas onwards. But I'm sure there is more in other books about Mahaprabhu's associates, but I'm a little bit unsure.
It was really nice how you described how he took those notes and then he gave them to Raghunath Das, and then then Raghunath Das expanded. I've never heard that before.
I hadn't heard it either.
Thank you. It's really sweet.
Thank you. Yeah, between him and Murari Gupta, we really have the majority of Mahaprabhu's pastimes available to us. So we owe a lot to both those personalities. I saw Mother Akadisi's hand over there.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for the nice class.
Thank you.
I just wanted to say it was so appropriate that you had this verse. And I was thinking when you were reading, because I had the good fortune of being Ram Govinda's kindergarten or first grade teacher.
First grade.
And I remember your good mother sending you to school dressed like Krishna, a little yellow dhoti and everything.
She must have read this verse.
Yeah, so it's just nice. I mean, you're a living example. So I just want to thank you and your good family.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Your children are a living example. I see a hand here.
Thank you, Prabhu, for a very nice class.
Thank you.
My question is on the memories. So, throughout, let's say, throughout the day or throughout the year, throughout the month, good thing happens, bad thing happens.
Yeah.
And, it's always mix, good and bad. 5 years down the road or 10 years down the road, when we look back, sometimes we remember good memories, sometimes we remember bad memories.
Yeah.
So my question is, does it depend upon the nature of the human, like one of these three modes of material nature, tamogun, satogun, or rajogun, what you tend to remember from the past?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, if we're stuck in the mode of ignorance, you'll probably be complaining more. And let's say it in a positive way. If we're in the mode of goodness, if we're practicing, if we're going about our life in satvagun, what's the attitude, what's the mentality? Because the modes of material nature, they affect how we act, how we think, how we will, everything. It's all encompassing in our life here. That's kind of the point of this material world, is that we're affected by these modes. So our thoughts will become different if we're in the mode of goodness. We'll probably think of more positive thoughts, we'll be more grateful. We'll focus on the positive things that happen in our life. If we're more in the mode of passion and ignorance, the opposite would hold true. But then again, for memories are an after effect of experiences. To have memories, you have to have experience. So based on our positive or negative experiences may create certain memories. And memories also, the mind is, it's a tricky place. We may think and we may create a memory that's, because of our conditioning, if we're situated in the mode of ignorance, even though we may have a strong or a positive experience, we may create a bad memory of it in our head, or focus on the bad part of it, so to say. So the more we situate ourselves in the mode of goodness, the more we can open ourselves up to the positive and strong Krishna conscious experiences we've had, or just the positive experience in life, and then those memories will hold in a positive way, if that makes sense. So we can have good experiences with bad memories of them, if we're always in lower modes, and then the opposite can hold true. We can have good experiences and good memories, or even bad experiences or good memories. Like devotees see Krishna's hand in every situation that's supposedly bad, because they're on the mode of goodness or transcending the modes of material nature.
So yeah, you said bad experience and good memories. So that is also possible, you're saying, with the mode of goodness?
Yeah. You can look at the life of Queen Kunti. It's an example of the hardship she went through, but how that brought her so much closer to Krishna. And those were good memories for her, in a sense.
Yeah. Thank you, Prabhu.
Thank you. There's Trivikram Prabhu's hand. It's up in the back.
Haribol Prabhu, thank you for the nice class.
Thank you.
You mentioned something about the younger devotees. Despite what happened, they may have strong faith in Krishna, you know, which is good. But sometimes I wonder, really, you know, just to get a wrong done in the day, one wrong is so difficult for a lot of the young kids. I wonder if having faith in Krishna is enough to sustain them in life. And not only that, but to sustain this movement, because, you know, we are all older devotees now. You know, when we're gone, you know, what, you know, if what you're doing, I mean, can you say something? Because I know you have some good concept of it.
No, it's not enough. Definitely not enough. We won't go back to Godhead just by having strong faith in Krishna, but no spiritual practice, no active relationship with Him. We'll go back to Godhead by being active in our relationship to Krishna and purifying ourselves and purifying that relationship to Krishna and to the point that we have pure bhakti. And the point I was trying to make was that, behold, from a young age, if you have positive spiritual experiences, often the result is, even if you fall away from Krishna consciousness, generally there is a coming back, and that can look different for everybody. But in the place where you're entangled in Maya, and yes, you have faith in Krishna, but there's no endeavor or maybe want to even connect with Krishna through the process of sadhana, through chanting Hare Krishna, it comes around different for everybody. But usually, what is the thing that created that faith in the first place when they were younger? Oftentimes, I find it was friendships. Friendships are what did that, and they created that, they held that space. And if we can cultivate that throughout our life, if a young devotee had good, positive experiences and friendships when they were younger, maybe those association changed over time. And it, you know, not just change, but when you do something for a long time, then it takes an effect. So maybe devotees had friends when they were younger who they played together and it was really good for them, and then when they got older and then the friends weren't devotees and then the association, that space held for a long time. I strongly feel that's the best ways, it's good friendships, good relationships, that to bring ourselves back to the point where we want to have a relationship with Krishna. When I was in England, one devotee, he told me something really nicely about friendships. He said, the best friend is he who brings you closer to the real best friend, to Krishna. That's a real friend in this material world.
Yeah, that's nice too, but I'm thinking we have to formulate a way to get them back into sadhana, you know? Especially the older.
is to be extremely personal. The way is to be extremely personal.
Well, but that's a fourth step to become friends with.
It's the first step. We can't just be friends and give them beads and say bye.
But I also think this might be a task for you especially, because
it's
a good role model and a good example.
Thank you.
So you should contemplate on it too, you know.
Yeah. Thank you. Keep it in mind. Okay. Gantra Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Sri Dhamadhar Goswami Ki Jai. Srila Sivananda Sen Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.